Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bunbury Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, a university in New South Wales. Sydney-led research team has made recommendations about how to better engage with culturally and linguistically diverse CLLD communities for the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. We're going to catch up a yarn with Associate Professor Holly Seal on the line of New South Wales University of New South Wales Medicine and Health. Professor, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Yeah, good, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So talking about the COVID-19 vaccine rollout and how to better engage with culturally and linguistically diverse communities. So shed some light on how this all came about and of course, the importance of the rollout, but also touching, all constituents of this country.
Yeah, look, thank you. And firstly, I'd just like to pay my respects to the Gadigal and Bidjigal people whose land that I'm currently presenting from today at UNSW in Sydney. And look, the group that I work with here, we've had a long interest in how to support migrants and immigrants and also refugees to our country and how to promote them to get vaccination. Because we know that there are ongoing issues with equity between people who are Australian-born and those who have immigrated in. Mm. And so that has been something that we've been, working on for a long time. And so when we knew that the COVID-19 vaccine program was going to be rolled out this year, we thought it was really important to go back and have a look at, what's worked and what hasn't worked so far in terms of communication.
Sure.
And what could we learn from that in terms of supporting the vaccine program more.
So the research is focused on migrant and refugee communities, our brothers and sisters from afar who are here with us in this country, yes?
Yeah, that's correct. That was really our focus. And so there is a lot of diversity in those communities and some people have been here longer than others. But, we do know that from past research that even with something like the flu vaccine, that there can be lower levels of uptake amongst immigrant Australians than those who are born here. So that was a really important reason why we wanted to get this work done. And we learned lots. We learned a lot about, how communication has happened, over the pandemic and what has worked and what really hasn't worked. And, some of these key issues are relevant to a range of communities.
Mm.
And, it's really about talking,
Exactly.
One of the key issues was that, we rely so much on having a PDF or having a hard copy resource.
Yes.
Where instead, really what we're wanting is someone to just talk to us via Zoom or via...
Well, exactly. Because we're talking about a COVID-19 rollout here. We're talking about a vaccine to stop the pandemic, so to speak. But for that to happen, we need communication, but we also need everybody at the table and open to the communication and involved in the communication, yes?
Yeah, and that's it. And those who are the most, that play the key role are our elders and our community
yes.
leaders. And community leaders in this space may come across the different age range, may be, have different, official roles, or may just be someone who, has an interest in supporting their community. And these people have already played a huge role in making sure that their friends and relatives and others in their community know about the COVID update.
Mm.
But really, looking forward, they're going to have an ongoing role because people trust their messages. They
exactly.
They are seen as being from the same group and have the same you know, understanding and feelings towards immunization. And so that's really where we can get our, we need to be putting a lot more support going forward.
Well, it's about not leaving anybody behind.
That's it. But, you know, what we know is that, you know, these community leaders play a key role and they are very willing to give up their time, but they often have other jobs. They may have family that they are responsible for, and they potentially could burn out. And so, you know, how do we support them?
Support them, exactly.
How do we make sure that they have the you know, not the skills and confidence, but also have the time and to keep going and being a messenger.
So Professor, the other thing that comes to mind is if we're not communicating, then it's detrimental to those individuals because they're in a dark tunnel. We're talking about a pandemic here. Is my family and myself, are we being looked after in this country?
Yeah, that's it. You know, and that's, you know, we know a lot of information will go via friends and relatives, and that's what we need to be conscious of, is making sure we are passing on the correct information.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a lot of incorrect information and a lot of information that, you know, we need to be conscious of is maybe coming from overseas settings that is just not relevant to Australians and people here and living here. And so, you know, how do we do that? Well, that's something we still need to explore a bit more how do we maximise our communication strategies here?
So the research was very important information to find out, and as I said, don't want to leave anybody behind. We need to have the communication front and centre, and that's exactly what you're doing. So thank you very much for sharing. Very important conversation, and a big shout-out to our refugee and migrant communities who are with us in this country.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You take care. All the best, Professor.
Okay, cheers, thanks, and to you, bye.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there, Associate Professor Holly Seal, and talking about the research team that has made recommendations about how to better engage with culturally and linguistically diverse communities. Linguistically, there you go. Nearly broke my jaw trying to pronounce it. But it's about communicating with everybody involved and to all our migrant refugee brothers and sisters who've joined us in this country. They shouldn't be left behind as well. So there it is, very important conversation. Have your say, Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
We'll be right back. away your suburban background. We won't be steering any ship down on your farm. My life is different to yours. What are you worried for? You got the money, you got the love, you got it all, but you still don't stop.
On your mom, it's me, Bush Taka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Rainmaker, Southeast Desert Metal, here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Have your say and yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BB and Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Speaking of rain, thinking of you mob down there at Brisbane Gold Coast, heavy rains, but also thinking of you mob there in Sydney. Hundreds of residents across Sydney's west are waiting to hear if they will need evacuation. with the state emergency service particularly concerned for mid-north coast and the Hawkesbury Valley and western New South Wales. So thinking of your mob there, and we are well aware of rain and Mother Earth and what is Mother Nature, what it can do to you here in far north Queensland with our rains and our cyclones and monsoonal season. So thinking of your mob, look, stay safe, stay strong, and do what you need to do. Keep yourself safe, your mob. Have your say, Jan. I'm strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
The dusty red highway. I got this freedom blowing wind in my hair. Soaking up the wild desert country. All my worries are gone, I don't care. Hey mom, I can just taste your fish soup and rice. I'm coming back home to you. At the place of the city life, soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
Yeah.
Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Like the first fact, 80,000 demon days in the dark night. Generate the
trauma that made a kid rage. Now the med can pat me filled with all that fallback. While my cousin commit, while my uncle locked up, while my auntie forget how to put a glass cup down, fighting the fit. We done been brainwashed into fighting the tempted. Thought I'ma get him and I'll be out the next day. Of course I'ma get him till the spirit run empty. My corpse full of venom, now I'll come with the envy.
Starvation, tradition, no ticket, no admission.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Strap on. A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre callers on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, we're talking about a spent conviction bill 2020, which states Parliament expect to pass and have passed. And we're going to catch up and have a yarn with Stan Winford, Associate Director of Research, Innovation and Reform at RMIT University. On the line, Stan, very good morning. How are you?
Well, thanks. Good morning, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, spent checks, spent convictions, what we're talking about. Spent conviction bill 2020 has been passed. Just first of all, before we start, enlighten us in regarding what is the spent conviction and look at how does it affect people who've done wrong, got a slap on the wrist, what have you, and looking for a brighter future, so to speak.
Sure. Spent conviction schemes allow people not to disclose old convictions when they are for minor offences and where a waiting period, usually about 10 years for adults, has passed. Most spent conviction schemes don't cover sexual offences, and some laws override them to require disclosure of old convictions where it's necessary to protect children, so, you know, working with children checks and that sort of stuff. And often there's a different rule for offences committed by children and adults, recognising that kids, can rehabilitate and usually for children, when they commit offences, there's about a five-year waiting period before their convictions are spent.
So what it becomes a weight on your shoulders when you apply for a job or want to travel overseas, and if you have a conviction that happened 5, 10, 15 years ago, it carries with you and can affect your life going ahead, is that right?
That's exactly right. I think a lot of people who have criminal histories are concerned about when they apply for jobs because often these days police checks are conducted, and often they're unsure about what's going to come back as well, and they don't know what will be disclosed. So spent conviction schemes can be good for giving certainty about when a record's going to come up. But at the moment, I think, unfortunately, a lot of employers and in a lot of areas, there's a lot of discrimination going on.
There is.
For old and irrelevant criminal history. So employers probably need a few lessons about what's relevant, you know, like a minor charge from a long time ago shouldn't prevent you from doing plenty of jobs, and often there needs to be a distinction made between the type of work and the history and whether it's relevant, and unfortunately that's not always made by employers.
Look, coming from a black point of view, a black aspect, we've got that black skin, which is sometimes discrimination on us straight away in regard to applying for a job. But checking a record, and a non-Indigenous person or company would look at it as, well, all tarnished with the same brush. We've got a conviction, we can't give you the job. And that freezes a person in regard to employment.
Yeah, look, as part of this work, we spoke to a lot of mob, and many of them said, look, this is about shame. We're not that keen on applying for jobs if we have
exactly.
talk about past history. And I think one of the areas where it was really problematic was in relation to kinship care. So there were a lot of aunties who said, you know, I don't want to talk about my past, even if that history that they may have had wouldn't have prevented them taking on that role,
yes.
they still felt shamed by having to talk about it. So similarly, people are not even going for jobs when they would be eligible just because they're worried about that history. And that's reflected in the statistics. In Victoria, where I'm from, there's about a 20% less participation in the labour force by Aboriginal people. So it's something that we need to fix up so that people can, you know, get strong and get jobs and, you know, do well for their families and communities.
Exactly. So regarding the Spent Conviction Bill 2020, so just enlighten us once again, just confirm regarding the meaning of that. Are we protected in regarding our past convictions? Has the is no longer carried with us, or where are we at with it? Can you just explain that, please?
Sure.
In layman's terms, so to speak.
Yeah, in layman's terms, it basically means that if you've had trouble in the past, that for most offences, after a period of time, they will not have to be disclosed when you apply for a job or okay. apply for education or other things.
Okay, excellent. And that is that all depending on the conviction on the case?
Yeah.
The crime committed?
That's it. There's a couple of, I guess, exceptions to that general rule.
Mm-hmm.
One is in relation to serious violent crime, and another is in relation to serious sexual offending. So
okay, yep.
for those two offences, I guess the Parliament's decided that they should be able to be disclosed for
yep.
safety reasons.
Safety reasons, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, and you'll find that in relation to, you know, in some cases, if you're working with kids or whatever, then, you know, obviously don't want people with
yes.
prior criminal history in relation to sexual offending against children. So
yes.
there's some sensible exclusions there, but as a general rule, the intention is to ensure, and I think this is right, that once you've been sentenced and done your time, it shouldn't be sticking with you for the rest of your
exactly,
life.
Exactly, exactly.
You know,
do the crime, do the time, done and dusted, so to speak.
That's right. But if you've done something, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, why should that still be there? That's not what the court intended.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't want you to be sentenced for life. You get life imprisonment for, you know, multiple murders, not for theft, you know, from the milk bar 20 years ago.
Exactly.
So that's how it's been operating, unfortunately. And as you said before, to the detriment of many Aboriginal people who've been particularly impacted by this.
So if you're going for a job interview, so to speak, and the company does a research on you, then they won't find
yep.
any crime records 10-odd years ago.
No, that's right.
Good.
If it's
okay.
one of those offences and you haven't been sentenced for a very long period of time, that's correct. And you can be confident because the law says this is what will be disclosed and this wasn't. This is what will not be disclosed. And I think that's important because people
exactly.
until now have been getting all sorts of different results and been really uncertain, and that's caused you know, quite a lot of problems.
But it's also, I think we've just how you say, take the blinkers off, and we're giving the people out there opportunity to step back into the workforce, because if they didn't know this information and they thought they had a criminal record that's with them for life, well, that's not the case. So go and apply for your job, brother, sister, and get employed and start a new life, and the future looks bright in that sense.
Absolutely. I think it's a really important change to make sure that people can get past their past.
Good, fantastic. Now, as you, Associate Director of Research, Innovation and Reform at RMIT University, in the research, just we were chatting just off air there, Stan, you did mention that an older gentleman found that he was committed a crime, classed as a crime committed, when he was 3-4 years old, and that was when he was removed from, you know, in the care. And part of Stolen Generation, that was classed as a crime, was it not?
That's right, Trevor, and it's almost unbelievable.
Yes, disgusting.
And many people didn't believe this until we got the documents to prove it. But a fellow that we were working with, Uncle Larry Walsh, who's a Tunnerong elder
yes.
here in Melbourne, he had been gone to court once or twice for in his as an older man, and he was told by a magistrate that he was a disgrace because he had a lengthy criminal history dating from 1952. And he was shocked and surprised because he said, look, I was 2 or 3 years old in 1952.
Yes.
How could I have a criminal record? And we dug into it a bit deeper, and we found that up until very recently, actually, the sort of late 80s, early 90s, that when people were removed, when Aboriginal people
stolen generation,
the court was treating that and the police were treating that as an offence, which was recorded in their criminal history. So a young person, you know, two or three, like Uncle Larry Walsh, was charged with being neglected or in need of protection.
And it was the child's fault, is what they were saying.
Exactly.
It was the child's fault for being removed at 2-3 years old, and that was a crime, and that child committed it.
As a crime committed by that child.
That's disgusting.
Extraordinary. So that thankfully has been uncovered and has been changed. So those records have been expunged, and they're not disclosed in that way anymore. But you know, it's a pretty extraordinary example of how unfair and unjust some of these laws are for Aboriginal people in particular.
And it's sad you come across it in the 21st century.
It is, it is. And look, that story actually, when we uncovered that went right around the world, and you know, people in New Zealand and all that sort of stuff were looking at it, and they were all quite shocked. But we were just happy to be able to uncover that and back up what he was.
That is no longer a law, is it? It's not in the law.
No.
Yes.
That's it. It's no longer in the law.
All right.
And look, that was part of the impetus for the broader reforms, because people recognise that it's just totally unfair that people who, you know, in this case, it's just utterly, it just doesn't make any sense at all. But even for people who may have been targeted by police as youngsters, or they might have got up to, you know, some problem or whatever in their past, they, you know, that's not what they're being sentenced to for life. They're being sentenced for what they did then for a certain period of time, and once that's over,
did their time, got the punishment done,
get back into it.
Yes, exactly.
Do the crime, do the time, but don't do a life
sentence.
Stigmatized for having a criminal history when that was never the intention of the justice system.
Yeah, look, my brother, thank you very much. A very important conversation, and fantastic that Spent Conviction Bill 2020 has been passed. And to people out there, well, black and white, you know, man or woman, you can now go ahead with your life. Thank you very much. All the best to you, Stan, and look, stay in touch and stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
That's Stan Winford, Associate Director of Research, Innovation and Reform at RMIT University, and talking about the Spent Conviction Bill 2020 that has been passed, and for, you know, criminal records, youth justice, special courts, victims of crime, access to justice, legal aid, persons, prisons, punishment, sentencing policy, mental health, disability and the law, drugs and the law. Look, the passage of the Spent Conviction Bill bring about a long overdue reform to correct the significant injustice. So there it is. If you've done a crime 10-odd years ago and you've paid for the crime, did the time, whatever the case may be, it's okay now for you to apply for a job, and they can't check into your history unless it's something really, really, really bad that stays with you for life. We're talking about sexual sexual offences or murder in that case. So there it is. So move ahead, move forward. It is in the past. It's great to have that conversation, but very sad in the research that Stan Winford came across where they were finding stolen generation, our family, our ancestors, uncle and aunts, grandparents who were removed, and they were charged at the age of classes of crime, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, when they were taken into care. That was committed as a crime. Well, how? Well, that changed back in 1988, but it came across, and so there it is. Moving forward, so there we are. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
Let me take you on a journey to paradise, yeah. We can fly away, fly away. Let me take you on a journey to paradise, yeah. We can fly away, fly away. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that journey, oh yeah. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that journey. Oh yeah. Yeah, you know I can take you there. I got a fast car, baby, we can go anywhere. Don't worry, cause I can slow down for ya. We ain't gotta hurry, we can leave in the morning. Or we could ride off in the sunset. Forget about the world, cause I know that your heart hurts. But just know that I'm here for ya. And you know that I'll do anything for ya. So just jump, jump in my ride. I'ma take you down to paradise. I can tell by the way that you're looking in my eyes that you're gonna be alright, cause you know you're by my side. So just jump, jump in my ride. I'ma take you down to paradise. I can tell by the way that you're looking in my eyes that you're gonna be alright.
Let me take you on that journey to paradise. Yeah, we can fly away, fly away. Let me take you on that journey to paradise. Yeah, we can fly away, fly away. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that journey. Oh yeah. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that journey. Oh yeah.
Let me take you on a journey to outer space. We ain't gotta stay here, we can leave this place. We can fly off to Mars, baby, it's a paradise. We ain't gotta go far, it's a two-step. So what you gonna do? Baby, have a few, we can party, it's cool. You're my paradise, with them pretty eyes. Every time she walk by, got me saying hi. And I know what you like, calling on me, can you be my ride? But I'ma switch it up tonight. Shawty looking fine, but that body looking tight. Everybody know that's mine. We just here just to have a good time. Please no interruptions. This the Bay Boy introduction.
Let me take you on that journey to paradise. Yeah, we can fly away, fly away. Let me take you on that journey to paradise. Yeah, we can fly away, fly away. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that journey. Oh yeah. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that. Let me take you on that journey. Oh yeah.
Yeah, two deli track, Bay Boys, Yarraba Group. Big shout out to your mob. Good morning, Yarraba. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trevor and Mike here. Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbleboot Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say, your mob. Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, here's a story from Matt Bamford, ABC News. And Indigenous high school students expose vile racism, demand action, better educate peers. They are terms you might expect to find in the inner circles of white supremacy group. Indigenous students say they don't want to go to school because of the racism they face. The ABC has obtained screenshots of students using racist terms, gin and the N-word. The Human Rights Commission and Education Academics are calling for more education on racism in Australia. But words like the N-word and gin are being directed at Aboriginal children by their peers in one regional Western Australian high school. The behaviour has spread across the playground on social media, where videos including one in which non-Indigenous boys kicks an Indigenous man and brazenly shared. Aboriginal girls say they are routinely barked at by boys as they were dogs. Those of the brunt of this behaviour report feeling depressed, angry and reluctant to attend class. The ABC knows of one student who is exploring alternative school options. The revelations come as educated academics and the Human Rights Commission call for teaching a better teaching around racism in Australia. Australia, and the ABC has obtained screenshots of online conversation with students called Indigenous classmates Jen and the N-word. We don't want to go to school. For Anna and Jenna, racism, ignorance and have become an avoidable part of school life. On one given day, the Broome Senior High School students might be openly mocked for speaking their language, teased about NAIDOC Week, called racist names, or all of the above. Both said they said being barked at by a group of non-Indigenous boys had been one of the worst experiences they had endured. First, I'd feel angry, and once I'd calmed down, I would basically get depressed and think that school's not worth it anymore. And it would say, we just don't want to go to school anymore, is the statement here. And there was a shot here, image shot, video, purportedly showing a student kicking an Indigenous man, as I mentioned earlier. It's a pattern of behaviour among one group of boys that also distressed a non-Indigenous student, Jessica. I heard them say the N-word all the time and refer to Indigenous people as Black Seas, she said. Recently, I heard them say that they thought she would be there should be another Stolen Generation. The ABC has obtained screenshots of online conversation where students say the N-word and call Indigenous classmates Jins. The word was also spelt in some messages as Jin, J-I-N, is a derogatory colonial era term used to describe Aboriginal women and deeply offensive. In one message, a parent seen as sympathetic to Indigenous students was called and labelled a wannabe N-word. A shared video student on a bicycle appears to be kicked and sleeping Indigenous man on the local oval riding away. Victims told to get over it. Jessica said racist words that have been used on social media platforms, including TikTok and Snapchat, as well as conversations at school. She said she had spoken with teachers and tried to stand up to the boys on numerous occasions, but was often left in tears. I feel disgusted. I hate it. Makes me cry and it makes me feel very sad and makes me cry, she says. Support for young peoples and families. Look, Headspace, Cairns, centres in each state and territory. Check out Headspace for online support. The Kids Helpline, 24 support of 1-800-555-1800. Relationship Australia support for Indigenous families, for individual families and communities on 1300-364-277. And Lifeline, 24-hour support of for all Australians on 1311-14. So when Anna confronted classmates about this kind of behaviour, she said she was told to get over it, and they just deny it and try to say it was just a joke or get over it, but it's not a joke, it's deeper than that. And it says, Jenna said her peers needed to understand the historical context behind their words and actions. So very important that this is tackled in many ways. Racism in schools is a national issue. And the government needs to do a bit more on that. Call for Australian-wide framework and also solid strategies needed. The Professor Jill Coffin has developed one of the few anti-bullying programs specifically for Indigenous students. But the Aboriginal health researcher said schools could only do so much when conversations were happening outside the classrooms on social media. So a lot of work to be done in racism, especially in schools and sports, and all that. We need to stamp it out. But have you say, Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here at 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up with someone on the line. Someone, good morning. My brother, someone, you there? Hello. Someone's not there. Give me a call back, someone. Lost you there, brother. And Jan Armstrong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, that's where we are, Ancient Warriors. That's Zenith there, Karana Mog, big shout out. We've got someone there. You there, brother? Good morning.
Yes, I am, brother. I'm all sweet, brother.
You all good?
Yeah, anyway, brother, I want to talk about the word gin. And as a matter of fact, my 12-year-old come on, and she told me there was a protest about the other word, brother, Ken's eye, the N-word. It was a protest. A teacher used the N-word.
I heard there was a confrontation with school students. Don't know the full story, but I believe the...
I'll just keep talking.
Yeah, okay.
Gin burglar, brother, that was a term that was used before. And I was thinking in terms of what's happening in Parliament then with all the white, the privileged white men, brother. Mm. Of course, I was camping out when I come down from Australia. For a few years, I was camping out, and even though I was camping out, I was still reading the papers, even the Sunday Telegraph that used to come over the Sunday Mail. I always kept myself informed. Went to Cairns Business College while I was still going to my AA meetings, and on a Sunday, we sit around at even later in the evening, sit around at the railway station, all the places where all the long grass mob or the people coming used to stay, used to camp out mob.
Mm.
Up along the Esplanade and around Rusty's table there, brother, and late in the evening, even down at Luna there, brother, and along the Esplanade, we'd always see what some would call, the gutter crawlers, the taxi drivers, brother, the gin burglars, brother, they used to come around for Murray Woman,
yeah.
You know? And and same with, in Moreed, it was the truckies just pick up them young underage girls there down at Moreed, brother. But what I'm going to try and get at is about privileged white men, and I did talk about the bloke that Gary Jubelin named in Barrowville. They named him, but not allowed to sort of put his, if you can get his picture, put it up on Facebook. I don't know if it can jeopardize any, just if it go back to call double jeopardy stuff. I don't know, or the legal game, if it's all his chances of getting convicted, if they're ever going to be convicted. But that's always been, brother, these people that. You could call them gin burglars. Some would say, they're captain, they shadow the grog. But these white blokes would go into this community and fill a lot of people up with grog and abusing young people. And we don't know, like, if the blokes put that Gary Jubelin that he mentioned, if you go to the territory, go to other states, and they do the same thing. But they're still around, brother.
Close
they're still around when it talks about the power of a privileged white man there, brother. That's what I wanted to say about my take on you talking about the N-word, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, Selwyn. Yeah, that's Selwyn there. Yeah, couldn't hear you. You couldn't hear me, sorry, Selwyn, but we can hear you loud and clear and got your point across, so thank you very much. And it is sad, but it's the 21st century, but racism is strong, and that's all faceted in the workplace, on the sporting field, and it's got to be stamped out. Have you say you might be on up strong, 1-800-422-416. We got my people, Chris Phillips. Do enjoy.
My people, Aboriginal people, don't forget what we're fighting for. We Aboriginal people of this land. Custodians, my people, my people, Aboriginal people.
Yeah, Custodians, my people, big shout out, Trinity Trev here, Murray from the Curry, going to sign off you, Mob. Thank you very much for your company on National Talk Black. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic. Abide by the rules. And also get yourself checked and talk about the vaccine. Talk to your GP, talk to your First Nation health organization and make the right decision there, you Mob. Too deadly.
60s I've been in the desert, and every night I dream of the sea. They say home is where you find it. Will this place ever satisfy me? For I come from the song. Now I'm out here west of Valley Spring with a wife and a family and my island home, my island home, my island home is waiting for me. In the evening the dry wind blows from the hills and across the plain. I close my eyes and I'm standing in a boat on the sea again. And I'm holding a long turtle spear and I feel I'm close now to where it must be. My island home is waiting for me. My island home is waiting for me.